But there are two basic themes in Isaiah 53. One is the suffering of Jesus, and the other is our salvation that Jesus accomplished for us. There was a woman who was sick at home, and she was afraid she was going to die, and she sent word to the church. She wanted the pastor to come and give her communion, give her the Lord's Supper. And so he went, and he gave it to her. They had prayer, and she took the bread, and she took the wine or the juice. And then after it was over, she said, "Well, I thought it would do me more good than that." And he looked at her and said, "Ma'am, you don't want it. You want him. It's not the piece of bread. It's not the glass of juice. It's Jesus. It's Jesus that has the power, the message about Jesus. This is symbolic of Jesus." When Jesus sat there at the Last Supper and he held up a piece of bread and he said, "This is my body," he wasn't saying that that was him. His body was sitting right there in front of them. He was saying, "This is a picture of my body." Now, you know, we have cats at the house. My favorite cat is the boy cat, of course. And his name is Bubba. Now, I could hold up a picture and say, "That's Bubba." And you know that's not Bubba. That's a picture of Bubba. And that's what Jesus was doing. He held up a piece of bread and said, "This is my body." He meant this is a picture of my body because his body was sitting there right in front of him. And when he held up the cup and he said, "This is my blood," what he was saying was, "This is a picture of my blood." And so we believe that it is a memorial that we do today because Jesus taught us, "Do this in remembrance of me till I come again." There are a couple of images in Isaiah 53. In verse 2, "He shall grow up before him as a tender plant." The tender plant, Jesus began his earthly ministry at 30 years old by being baptized by John in the Jordan River. We studied that in Sunday school this morning. Why 30 years old? Because 30 years old was the age when the priest began his ministry at the temple. Jesus began his earthly ministry at 30 years old. "He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground." You don't expect anything to live in dry ground. We got a spot in our yard where nothing lives. Everything I plant there dies, okay? I'm working on some angel trumpets there now, and I don't give them much chance. They grow everywhere else in the yard, but not there, okay? Jesus was a root out of dry ground. He came out of Israel. What was Israel? The backwater of the Roman Empire. He came out of Nazareth. What was Nazareth? Well, it wasn't much. When the disciples went to Nathanael, and this is John 1:46, and he said, "We have found the Messiah." Nathanael says, "Well, where's he from?" They said, "Well, he's from Nazareth." And Nathanael smarts off and says, "Well, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Expecting the no answer. That's what people thought of Nazareth. Jesus was the root out of dry ground. The tabernacle, all of the wood in the tabernacle was acacia wood. Acacia wood is a very tight-grained wood that only grows in the desert. It is a symbol of Jesus. The whole framework of the tent where people met God was acacia wood. The whole framework of how we meet God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing special. He was plain, he was common, he was born in a stable. It was simple shepherds who worshipped him first. He was the root out of dry ground. But the root's the foundation of a vine. If you don't have any roots, the vine doesn't grow. You can only grow as high as your roots grow deep. And I was in high school, and that's back when we went to high school in caves. When I was in high school, we went over to the Kennedy Space Center. I saw my first microwave oven. That was 1969. and I cooked a hot dog in the microwave, and everyone was afraid they were going to die from radiation. You remember that? And we went to the vertical assembly building. That building is so big that the problem is that clouds form inside the ceiling and rain on the rockets. So they have to have big exhaust fans in the ceiling. The building is so big. But that big building, I asked the tour guide, I said, how deep is the foundation? And she said, 33 feet deep. You have to have a deep foundation to support a large building. As you have begun in Christ Jesus the Lord, Colossians says, so grow ye in him, rooted, built up, and established in the faith. You can only grow so high as your roots grow deep. And Jesus is the root out of dry ground. I am the vine, you're the branches, he said in John 15. He is the root and the vine, and we're the branches that bear the fruit. So the first image is the root out of dry ground. Look at verse 7, probably the most famous, widely known image of Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so openeth not his mouth. He is the sheep, the lamb. When Jesus came to John to be baptized, John 1:29, John said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. The Apostle Paul said Jesus is the Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians 5:7, for Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. It goes back to the Passover. The 10th plague on Egypt was the angel of death was going to go through the whole land of Egypt and kill the firstborn of all animals and all humans. But God gave the Israelites, the Hebrews, the chance to avoid this judgment. It was on the Egyptians. And so he said, take a lamb, perfect, male, without blemish. Put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And Exodus 12:13. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And he did. And the Jews continue to celebrate the Passover today. Hebrews 11 says, by faith, Moses kept the Passover, believing that what God had done in the past, he could do in the present. There was a man getting ready for church on Sunday morning. And he felt guilty. He was depressed. He hadn't had a good week. Didn't have the right attitude. And he didn't want to come to church. And it kind of reminds me of this man, and the wife says, honey, it's time to get up and go to church. He says, I don't want to go. I don't feel like going today. I'd rather sleep in. Besides, people down there don't like me. And she said, but you have to go. You're the pastor. But this guy, you know, he didn't feel good. He was down. He was depressed. The week hadn't gone his way. I just don't feel worthy to take the Lord's Supper. And he went to church and he told this pastor, you know, that's how I felt before I came to church this morning. And the pastor said, well, what happened? He said, I was at my house washing my hands. And Jesus spoke to me in my heart and said, if you can wash your hands, don't you think my blood can wash your heart? And so I came to celebrate what Jesus did for me. Look at chapter 53, verse 11. The woman in labor pain. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The woman in labor, going through the pangs, the contractions, and giving new life. And this new life is all the way through the Bible, Genesis 3, where God promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. The seed of the woman being Jesus. The idea of being born again. You must be born again, ganao. Jesus tried to explain to Nicodemus, who was the great teacher of the Jews. If you read the Greek carefully in John 3, Jesus said, "Thou art ho didaskalos, thou art the teacher of Israel, and understandest not this. You must be born physically, and you must be born spiritually," the new birth. Which is why John goes on in the Gospel of John to say, "He that is born again does this, he that is born again does that." 5 times in 1 John, John uses the born again to talk about characteristics of a true Christian. We must be born again. We are the result of the labor pains of Jesus on the cross as he suffered to bring us eternal life. And then look at chapter 53, verse 12. We looked at the root out of dry ground. We looked at the lamb and the sheep. We looked at the woman in labor. The last verse of Isaiah 53 is the conquering, victorious general. "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Behold, he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." He won. 1 Corinthians 15:57. "Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus, as the victorious conqueror, is strong and he gives us his strength. Jesus spoiled the devil. He defeated death. He gives us part in that victory. Jesus is supreme, and at one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the victorious general. In the 1700s, King Charles II was beheaded, and England was ruled by the Parliament in the period called the Commonwealth. Then they invited Charles' son, King James II, King James VII of Scotland, became King James II of England, and he was a Catholic, and they deposed him. His daughter had married William of Orange, who was a Protestant, and they got rid of King James II, put William of Orange on the throne, and that's where we get the College of William and Mary, from William and Mary, the Protestant rulers of England. But up in Scotland, the Highland clans still held out for the descendants of King James. Jacob is the Hebrew for King James, and they were called the Jacobites. The Jacobites and the Highlands wanted King James' descendant, Charles, to be the King of England. He was called Bonnie Prince Charlie. And every time a Highlander, a Jacobite, would pass another one on the road, they would stop and have a toast. Of course, any excuse for the Scots to drink whiskey, all right? But they would toast Bonnie Prince Charlie and the day he would come back and free Scotland. Every time they met at a council, they would toast Bonnie Prince Charlie and the day he would come back and free Scotland from England. Every time they did a business deal, they would do a toast to their returning king. Well, Charlie came back in 1745. And he was defeated at the Battle of Culloden by the Redcoats. The Highlanders were squashed, slaughtered. Scotland was defeated. He brought destruction. He brought defeat to Scotland. All the weapons were banned in Scotland. The bagpipes were banned in Scotland, if you can imagine that, because they looked for the wrong guy to come back and set them free. We don't. You and I were told by Jesus 2,000 years ago to do this to remind us until he comes back. And one day he is coming back. And one day we will set in order all that is wrong in this world. But until that time, you and I stand in a line with 2,000 years of Christians who have done what we're getting ready to do this morning. We're going to do the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, reminding us of the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.